You are listening to the Trinity Presbyterian Church podcast from Novato, California. Here is this week's adult Sunday school class.
Wanted to begin our time here today reading from Jude. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Amen. As we spent a little bit of time on our Sunday school, thinking a little bit about the history of the church, I want us to think about it in terms of what I just read there from Jude. Right? We are continuing on the work that the saints before us have been doing, right? I mean, 50 years, we've got several generations of Trinity just right here in this front row right here, and we get a chance to continue on in this current year and going forward. I'm thinking, what's the next 50 years going to look like? We're continuing the gospel ministry, and I love that verse because the whole book of Jude is focused on there are forces within the church that want to get us to give a different gospel, to turn away from the message. And the message never changes, guys. It keeps the same. Our job is not to change the message. Our job is to preserve it and pass it on to the next generation so that they can keep doing the same until the Lord returns. And so we get a chance to have that in mind as we think through a little bit of the history. So a little bit of trivia questions as we go along here today. You have to raise your hand. Who was the first pastor to work on planting a church here in Novato? Raise your hand. Who was the first pastor to work on planting a church here in Novato? Renee. Robert Graham is the wrong answer. I asked the question hoping someone would say Robert Graham. Anyone want to take a second guess? Not Pastor Miller. One of the Berkeley people want to take a guess? It's a bit of a trick question. Dick Lewis. That's right. I hoped I would trick people here. Yes, Robert Graham was the church planter that really was the official planter of the church. But he didn't come until May 1970. And it was in 1969 when there were two families, Berkeley Church members, Bob and Bonnie Ray Williams, Jerry and Judith Cantwell. They were living in Novato, driving out to Berkeley every Sunday. They did your trip every week. And they said, this is a long drive. Pastor Lewis, would you help us get a Bible study going here? And they did. They invited their neighbors, just like we always talk about, hey, have a Bible study, invite your neighbors. That's what they did. Pastor Lewis led that Bible study with those two families in the neighborhood, and that became the core little group. And, of course, in wise pastor fashion, after a little while, Pastor Lewis said, I assume, this is a lot for me to be driving out all the time. We need some help. There's a viable group here. And so that's when they contacted and ultimately called as an evangelist. That's what we call in the OPC a church planter who's a pastor, an evangelist, Reverend Robert H. Graham. And he came, moved to Novato, him and his wife Ruth. And they started actually at that point when they called them, that's when they were prepared to actually begin holding worship services. So that was actually back there in that other room in May of 1970. So before they were officially particularized as a church, the anniversary we've been celebrating is the year later, May 13, 1971, is when they actually were particularized. But they started holding services in that room back there, May 1970. And that was when Robert Graham came and started leading the church through actually having the church plant at that time. We call those mission works or church plants, or a very common term actually is to call them a chapel in the OPC. And so that's what they were describing. That first service that Graham led in May of 1970, he preached on Matthew 5, 1 through 16 in a sermon titled God's Happy Man. And the bulletin said this. It said, "Welcome to the first service of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Novato. May our worship together bring glory to our triune God and spiritual prophet to us all. In a sense, we are all strangers today, so let us all make each other feel at home." So their very first church plant service, welcome each other because no one's a regular yet. The bulletin also read this. I hope you appreciate I'm reading some of these things because we're being reminded of the ministry's vision, even from the very beginning. And we're thinking that Jude passage, we're taking this and continuing to run with it. It read this in that first May 1970 bulletin. Who are we? The ministry on this Lord's, there's a typo here, I think Lord's Day, has been established by members and friends of the Covenant Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Berkeley who live in this area. They desire an evangelical Presbyterian church which would believe and teach the whole counsel of God. We are affiliated with the Presbytery of Northern California of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We welcome to this testimony all who believe the Bible to be God's infallible word and who want a church that does not compromise with liberalism. And remember, we had our church history series a little while ago, Sunday school series. Robert Graham was one of the originals that was ran out of the main line and part of that was there at the first General Assembly of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. So he knew the fight for theological liberalism versus real Christianity. And you see that even echoed right there. We're going to bring the whole counsel of God. God's word is infallible. It's inerrant. It's his inspired word. And we're not going to compromise it. It's why down through the years, we've often used the language as a sort of a motto for the church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. That statement is sort of behind that is we're not theological liberals. When the Bible teaches the virgin birth, we actually think it means the virgin birth. When the Bible talks of supernatural miracles happening, we think those actually happened. When the Bible says Jesus rose bodily from the dead, we don't think this is a myth. We think he actually rose. So we see that right here in the beginning. Graham actually did a number of church plants, and we're thankful that he spent some time here. A long list. He was out in Delaware, served at Berkeley for a while, served in Pennsylvania, Bayview OPC, Chula Vista, the Santee OPC, worked at San Jose for a little bit. He was also the organizing pastor of Battle Mountains Church as well. So he did a lot of church planting, a lot of different labors. Was married 53 years to Ruth Hall Graham, and the Graham family grew to include four children: Elizabeth, Margaret, Virginia, and Robert. And three of them married people who would be OBC ministers: Pastor John Mitchell, Donald Duff, and Charlie Dennison. So the Graham family is very plugged into. To the OPC's life, very thankful for their ministry. So I read a little bit from the bulletin in the 1970 first service, but then fast forward to the next year, 1971, there at that point is a core group that petitions Presbytery to officially organize them. They signed a declaration of intent. By the way, you'll notice my trivia questions here come from stuff I've been posting on our website in coming up on this. How many families signed that declaration of intent to ask Presbytery to formalize them as a congregation? See if you've been reading my posts. 11, ding, 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 that's right. I don't have any prizes, I'm sorry. 11 families. And so the church was formally organized as a particular congregation Thursday, May 13, 1971, at an 8 p.m. service. Thought, oh, it's a little late. But that's what they did at 8 p.m. Right there again in that fellowship hall. Been here the whole time. It was organized under, what was the name of the church when it first was organized? Trivia question. Very inventive name. What was the name? So close. Novato Orthodox Presbyterian Church. NOPC, I guess. Novato Orthodox Presbyterian Church. The service that was held was known as the Emission Day Service. It's what it said in the bulletin and the media about it. It was the Emission Day Service. It was an act of presbytery because it was installing a minister as pastor, as well as then ordaining and installing the first elders in the church. And so typically those things that are presbytery acts are moderated by the moderator of the presbytery. Who was the moderator of the presbytery in that May 1971 service, and who also moderated in that service? Who was the moderator? Anyone? Scotty Nealins, that's right. Probably most of you here don't know who Scotty Nealins is, but I trust every single Berkeley member here knows Scotty Nealins, and it's our shame if you don't know who Scotty Nealins is. It's my shame probably for not mentioning his name frequently and often, and I hope to remedy that going forward as I was reviewing the history of the church. Scotty Nealins was an institution at the Berkeley congregation, institution in our presbytery, but had many important ways he made impact on this ministry. And I think he's one of the people that we wouldn't be here without sort of people. And so Scotty Nealins was an elder at the Berkeley Church. How many years in the Berkeley Church? Over 50, that's right. Pastor Faulkner, your house where you live, is that his old house? Scotty Nealins gave his house to the church as a manse afterwards. That's where Wayne lives. I was looking at some correspondence in my notes this week preparing, and I saw a letter from Scotty Nealins to someone. They had a carbon copy of it. And I said, hey, it's got Wayne's address on there. And then I remembered, oh, that's right, that's where Scotty Nealins used to live. So in that admission day service, they sang, I love thy kingdom, Lord. Pastor Dick Lewis of the Berkeley Church gave the sermon. They installed Reverend Graham as pastor. They installed and ordained the first two elders of the church. Who were the first two elders? Trivia question. It was those same... The head of houses of those two same OPC Berkeley families, Bob Williams and Jerry Cantwell. They were the first two elders. And Reverend Graham gave an ordination prayer. A longtime OPC member, Reverend Thomas Champness, also the Modesto pastor for a time, gave the charge to the pastor, congregation, ruling elders. And they sang another song. They sang, O Spirit of the Living God. Number 253 in the original Trinity hymnal. I just wanted to read a verse or two from that song. It says, give tongues of fire and hearts of love to preach the reconciling word. Give power and unction from above whenever the joyful sound is heard. Baptize the nations far and nigh. The triumphs of the cross record. The name of Jesus glorify till every kindred call him Lord. Not a very fitting song to sing at a mission day. After that, they had a social hour, and it said on there the invitation was from the ladies of the Novato Church. I find that interesting. You know, probably PC today. I don't know if we put it that way, but we all know it's the ladies of the church who really make these social hours happen. So again today, by the way. On the Emission Day service bulletin, it listed the five fundamentals of the faith. And those are in contrast to the doctrines of theological liberalism, the inerrancy of Scripture, substitutionary atonement, virgin birth, belief in miracles, and the bodily resurrection of Christ. And it also referenced our commitment not only to the Word, but to the standards. It says in the bulletin, committed to the proclamation of the whole counsel of God contained in the Bible, summarized in our subordinate standards. List the Westminster Confession and Catechisms. It says, for these standards, we are grateful to Almighty God and pray that we may ever faithfully proclaim to a world of sinners salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. So again, this is our heritage. We've been doing the same thing ever since, right? We haven't become less, I hope, We haven't become less excited about the whole counsel of God and those reformed standards that summarize the teachings of scriptures. I love how in class in seminary, Dr. Scott Clark would often say, you know, semper reformanda doesn't necessarily mean changing at this point. It means becoming all the more recommitted to what it is that we hold dear, right? This reforming, we continue to stand fast on these truths. So that was May 13. It happened to be a Thursday, which May 13 this year was a Thursday. I don't know if that's how it works. Every 50 years you end up the same. I don't know. Someone smart can tell me. But it was a Thursday then. It was a Thursday this week. So then Sunday was May 16 afterward, and just like today. So May 16, 1971, they hold their first worship service as a newly particularized church. 21 communicant members and 17 non-communicant members were received then in that official worship service, the new membership, core charter membership. They proceeded to baptize six of them because six of the non-communicants hadn't been baptized yet. What a wonderful day. First on the roster of members was Jenny Brown. And some of you knew Jenny Brown. Most of you didn't. But she was on that list, and she was an active member until her death in 1999. She came from our OPC in San Francisco, which is a wonderful little side note, right? We're talking so much about Berkeley folks planting this, but there was others like Jenny Brown who wanted, you know, had been going to San Francisco and looking for something closer, and the Lord, you know, connected her with us here, and she was a longtime member, active and faithful, wrote a lot of theological poems. Pastor Miller helped to set them to music. We're going to sing one at the end of our service, Sunday school today. I never met her. Joellen said she was kind of like our Fanny Crosby. And I said, but I'm sure way better theology because I've seen the poems. So we're very thankful for Jenny. Vera Simmons would often quote a Jenny Brown quote that I always appreciated, which was, we need to put legs on our prayers. Legs on our prayers. Meaning, if you pray for something, act in light of praying for it. I'll just to give you an example, I'm praying right now, lose a little weight. If I'm praying for that, When the second helpings come by, I need to put some legs on those prayers and say, no, thank you. Hard to do, but let's, you know, put legs on our prayers. I appreciated that quote. So this is 1971 May. That fall, 1971, Elder Jerry Cantwell and family moved to Illinois, somewhere like between October and November. So now they're down to one local elder with Pastor Graham. 1972, the next year, the church is starting to struggle financially. They petition the denomination, the Home Missions Committee, please put us on your financial support roll. And they ultimately did. Then that fall of the next year, 1972, the other elder, Bob Williams, moves to Texas. Now they're without any local elders. You know, part of particularizing as a church is you don't particularize until you have local elders. That's kind of the key thing to be able to actually organize as a church. You have to have local elders. So what allowed them to particularize the year before was no longer a truth anymore. They didn't have any local elders. And so at that point, Presbytery appoints a temporary session of elders to oversee the church and keep it going during this difficult patch. Who was on that temporary session? Trivia questions. This was not in my online post. Anyone? Scotty Nealons, that's right. There was also, see if you guys know, a second Berkeley elder who was on that session as well. That's right, Gus Espino. And I must say, I don't know anything about Gus Espino other than a few notes I have. But maybe the Berkeley folks knew, you have to ask them. But Gus and Scotty would become clerk, or Scotty would become clerk, and they would be augmenting the session along with Robert Graham. Gus would serve from 1972 to 1976. Scotty Nealons would serve from 1972 to 1979. That's a long time. That's a good chunk of our church's history where the session was basically Berkeley. So, you know, I wanted to point out in our lesson today, while we've invited the Berkeley congregation here, we often think about them getting the church going initially, but you'll see this theme. They've helped it throughout to survive. Thank you. Thank you, Berkeley. And Scotty's role, particularly as clerk, we have had a clerk here in Mark and a clerk there, Marlon, and a clerk there, Jeff. They can tell you it's a lot of work to do clerk for the session. And Scotty did that for years. And like I said, I have correspondence where I see in the church folder, Scotty writing letters here and there for the church. Scotty really invested his heart and played a big role into seeing this ministry carry on. 1973 rolls around. Sal Brusso, who would go on to become an elder, joins a church in that year. Others join the church, by the way, along the way, too, but I point out some of the key leadership as they come in. June 1973, because there are no local elders, the church forms what's called a council of five. I've seen in other church plants, when it's a church plant, they often call this also like a steering committee. The idea is it's a group of people actually who are there, are members in the church, to be able to give input and suggestions to the actual governing session. And so this Council of the Five was sort of an advisory committee that allowed connection with the local church to be able to speak to the fact, you know, we only had a temporary session. And so often you look at the session meeting minutes, the sessions often would be meeting with the council. And so they get a chance to check in with what's going on through the council. And in that year, this is now 1973, September 1973, Pastor Graham submits his resignation. So from May 1971 to September 1973, lose both the two elders and the founding pastor, the planting pastor. And I don't know all the details of that, but my understanding from reading his own communications about it, he thought it was in the best interest of the long-term growth of the church if he moved on. At that point, Presbytery needed to appoint another minister to serve on the session and to be a ministerial advisor. Who do you think they appointed? Dick Lewis. So Pastor Dick Lewis of the Berkeley Church is back serving again. There on the session. And at that point, you actually look in the minutes of our church. Many of the session meetings in that time frame are held at the Berkeley Church. And when they weren't held at the Berkeley Church, they usually were held at Scotty Neeland's house. And so, again, it just shows you, like, it wasn't just in the planting. Berkeley, like, you know, literally was our session for many years. In one form or another. So in 1973, that's how it happened. But then Reverend John Betzold, U.S. Army chaplain, also began to come and help out at the church and attend and was often moderating congregational meetings, things like that, and was a great blessing to the church at that time, filled the pulpit on many occasions. In 1974, then, pastoral search goes into full swing. And at that point, the council that I mentioned also becomes the pulpit search committee. Makes sense? And by May of 1974, the session invites Reverend Miller to candidate with the one provision that the OPC's home missions would be providing financial support so that it could make it happen. By July of that year, 1974, they issue a call to Reverend Miller at a whopping $8,100 a year. I can imagine those are tough times. And I'm sure things were cheaper, but that's wow. October 12th, Pastor Miller arrives with Joellen. And you had some, were any of the kids born at that point?
Heather and Joel.
Heather and Joel arrive with him. And
about 18 months.
Wow. And so he's officially installed November 14, 1974. I'm told, I just learned this today, Rebecca Davis, raise your hand, Rebecca. She's, I guess, the oldest member of the church here today, then. I don't mean age-wise. I don't know if that's true. But she was, she signed Pastor Miller's call along with the other members of the church at the time. So I think that would have to make her, oh, maybe Ben Simmons. Ben was there, predated before you. And so he begins November 1974. Pastor Miller pastors the church from 1974 to 2006. 1975, rather bleak time for the church. The new Pastor Miller faces questions over the ongoing viability of the work. Again, the membership had just declined so much. At this point, in terms of those charter members, I mentioned the original members on that admission day, only six of the communicant members were still there. And I know in seminary, when they talked about church planting, they said it's not uncommon that you plant the church with the core group, and in 5 years, nobody from the core group is left. Because they all came in probably with ideas of how the church should go, and it's never exactly the way they have in mind, and for whatever reason, people often move on. Now, I don't know for all the reasons why these people moved on, but I know at least for a number of them, it was work moved them away. The bottom line was, by 1975, almost nobody from the original group was even there. Though Jenny Brown was still there. and so it was a tough time. And Pastor Miller, I know, told me this story many times. It drove the church to prayer, to call out to God. When members kept leaving, it made them drive them to prayer. But as he pointed out, then 1976 came along, and he really saw God answer a lot of prayer through that. At the end of 1975, Sal Baruso was installed as an elder. So that would have been the first local elder again back in the church. And 1976, a time of growth came. That's when the Simmons family came. Oh, wait. That would mean that they weren't there yet when you were there then. You predated them, apparently. Praise the Lord. The Simmons came, the Hibbets came, and the Maines came. We have those names all still in the church. Praise the Lord. Ben Simmons. Early on, we became a deacon. Richard Maines, many years later, would become a deacon. I've got a bulletin the day after I was born from our church, and it lists Ben Simmons as deacon on the bulletin. I feel very young when I see that. Ben became a deacon February 26, 1978. I was born July 1st, 1978, so... Jeff served as an elder starting 1979 through 2004, and then took a little hiatus, and we'll get to in a moment. Then, by God's grace, came back on the session. In 1976, the church's name also changed. What's the name of the church at 1976? Trinity Church, Orthodox Presbyterian. That's exactly right. And so 1976 was a really positive, encouraging time. Saw a lot of forward momentum. During Pastor Miller's tenure, a lot of great ministries took place. Vacation Bible School, Reformation Rally. We got a few of the Reformation Rally flyers up front, just a small sampling compared to how many we've done. Their ministries to Canyon Manor, ministries to Hill Road and Tam Creek, these different convalescent community, retirement communities. During this time, internships of Dave Bush and Hugh McCann. I've heard a rumor, is Hugh supposed to be here today, Wayne? Is that what I'm hearing? Supposedly Hugh's going to be here, we'll see. Christmas caroling, even a radio ministry called the Reformation Hour. And so many different ministries, so many wonderful memories I've been able to hear over the years. Encourage you to pick Joellen's memory today after service, maybe, you know, tell us more about some of those different ministries. During this time, there are other deacons that God raised up, Nathan Parker, Kevin Perkins, Thomas Candler, other elders, Lyman Smith, Daryl Moffitt, John Hendrickson, and then Kevin Perkins, who was first a deacon and then became an elder. And then, of course, toward the end of Pastor Miller's time, Marlon Viss. Marlon was trained, I assume, by Pastor Miller for eldership. See if I can embarrass Marlon. You gave a comment on Friday when we had you over for dinner about Pastor Miller saying something like how impressed he was with Mr. Viss and his training. So, praise the Lord. I concur. examples of, there was a number of ups and downs still throughout this period. And I remember Pastor Miller telling me about these ups and downs. And then I've, reflected, a lot of things stay the same. You feel like you grow and then three families move away and then new families move in and three families move away. It's just, there's challenges like that. There was several times of great financial struggles for the church. I remember Richard Main saying sometimes they would take the collection, quickly count it up at the back of the church and say, guys, we need to pass the plate a second time because we're not going to be able to give pastor his paycheck if we don't get a little bit more. I've never heard of a church doing that. I think that shows how drastic, challenging things were, right? Other challenge, evening service had been going on. It was canceled in the early 2000s due to a lack of attendance. I would love to see at some point sooner rather than later as resuming evening service. It's still on the radar. To point out was in 2002, a building fund was established by a generous anonymous gift. And that's the same building fund that we're looking to finally use. Praise the Lord. And of course, people have added to it along the way. But the vast majority of it still is that gift that was invested in the OPC loan fund. And it's grown to be able to have a real consideration of this property that we're looking at right now. So Pastor Miller retires in 2006. At that time, the session consisted of elders Kevin Perkins and Marlon Viss. When a pastor retires, the presbytery appoints a ministerial advisor to serve on the session in the interim. Who did presbytery appoint as the ministerial advisor? Kim knows. Pastor Wayne Faulkner. And guess what church he's from? The Berkeley Church. So I hope I just wanted to point out all these little touch points, right? And before the church was a church, as the church became a church and struggled for many years, when they're without a pastor again, you see Berkeley shepherding this little flock here. What a blessing. And actually, I noticed as I was looking, I did not realize this. Prior to Pastor Miller retiring, Pastor Faulkner, I think 2 years before, had already been augmenting the session, I guess, to help out. There was need to help out. So, again, what a common theme. After Pastor Miller retired, it was a challenging time. Membership had declined during that time. Particularly, they called an individual who sort of backed out of the call at the last minute, and that sparked several more families and also Elder Perkins to move on. And so we were down to really a skeleton crew. And again, I think of like, if it weren't for, so-and-so, if it wasn't for Elder Viss and Deacon Maines, especially during that time, we would not be here. We would not be here. I know when I looked at the call, I called Wayne Faulkner, introduced myself. He seemed very excited about my interest. And he said, I'll pass this on to Elder Viss. And it took a while to get a call back from Elder Viss. And my understanding was it's because Elder Viss didn't know if the church was going to continue at that point. It had become so long and so hard and so few. But I guess he said, okay, I'll make one more phone call and praise the Lord because church is still here today. Thank you, Marlon. And for all the church folks who carried on during that time, I know like we had a retirement community ministry going on for many years at Atria Town Pius Creek, and members of the church, Pastor Miller had done it before, but in his retirement, members took over and led that Bible study there. During that time, licentiate Tim Black also was our stated supply here for 6 months. I trust I gave a little bit of a break to Marlon not having to find pulpit supply every single week since we had Tim Black serving then. I was ordained and installed January 11, 2008. Either I had forgotten or just never knew, but Linda played the organ here. Linda Enos from the Berkeley Church played the organ that night. Again, another touch point of the Berkeley Church blessing us. Thank you. And the presbytery committed to 4 years of financial support for the church at that time because we had grown so small that financially they offered me the 8,100 deal. And I said, I just can't do that, you know. I'm kidding. But they stepped up again and blessed the church financially. During this time, shortly into that time, Elder Hibbets returned as an elder to the session. What a blessing. What a blessing. We also received Deacons David Young, Neil Oli, Diego Marino, and Jim Wright. Thankful for the last two brothers, as you know, are still here. And during this time, of course, a number of notable ministries we could point out. Our annual barbecue and church open house. Reestablished children's Sunday school classes, which had been on hiatus for a while. Started regional community groups. We had Joe Johnson as an intern. We brought back VBS a few years. Started an outreach prayer meeting. Started podcasting. Wasn't an option previously. You know, a lot of fun and exciting things have gone on these last few years. I want to make sure we have time to sing our last hymn, so I'll call Linda up now for that. But sort of takeaway from all this is, you know, we look back, there's been a lot of ups and downs, hardships. Sometimes God closes works. Sometimes he decides to revitalize them and continue them. And that's what he's seen fit to do for us. And so we're thankful to be able to continue on in that ministry. What a blessing to be able to carry on serving the Lord. And I want us just to be renewed in that call today to bring the whole counsel of God and that sweet gospel of Christ crucified, Christ risen. Speaking of Elder Perkins, I see Mr. Perkins back there right now. We're just mentioning you, Kevin. We're going to sing, let's stand for this one, sing praises to our Savior, this nice Jenny Brown hymn here.
To our Savior, praise him, Lord. with love, since for us he died and rose, lives for us above. He renews rebellious hearts, then they love his ways. Such a blessed Savior true deserves our highest praise. Praises to our Savior, praise him for his love. Since for us he died and rose, lives for us above. One day he is coming soon, we shall see his face. Evermore we'll live with him and praise his saving grace. Praises to our Savior, praise him for his love. Since for us he died and rose, lives for us above.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanksgiving and praise that you have seen fit to carry on this congregation for 50 years. We thank you for the opportunity to reflect on it in the Sunday school so we can give you all the glory and praise. It's about you, Lord, fulfilling that promise of that the gates of Hades will not prevail against your church. And we thank you that that includes your plan for the gospel witness to carry on here in this little church. For all these many years, please bless us as we continue to do so going forward into the next half century. In Jesus' name, amen.